All right, our reading will be taken from Philippians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 4. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
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 I want you to take your Bible or your device and put it down, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. This is the words of encouragement. Grab them by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And say, neighbor,
neighbor,
God is in control. Neighbor,
neighbor,
God is in control. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, God is in control. Now, as we look at this, there are five words that we have to look at before we do anything else. These five words, I want you to remember them because you know how I do. They're going to be reoccurring. We're going to be looking at them again. The first word that I want you to remember is found in verse number 4. The first word I want you to remember is rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
Because of the fact that it says in this verse, rejoice in the Lord sometime.
Always.
And just to reiterate, he says, again, I say what?
Rejoice.
You see, rejoicing is important, and stick a pin in it, we're going to come back to it. And the second word I want you to get is found in verse number 5. And that word is near. If you have a King James, it says, the Lord is at hand. Same thing, the Lord is near. And the third word I want you to grab a hold of is found in verse number 6. And that word is prayer. Because we recognize that whatever goes on, we ain't going to worry about it. We're going to pray. Okay? And then when we look at verse number 7, there is two words we got to pull from this verse. Y'all been going so good so far. Now you're going to try to figure out if you know these two. We know that in verse 7, the fourth word that I want you to remember and to continue to hold on to is called
peace.
It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And once we have peace, we have to know that the Lord, and the fifth word the Lord is going to bless us with is God.
Amen.
Because in Jesus Christ, our hearts and our minds are guarded. You got those five words, right? Okay, now it gets interesting. On this past Tuesday, we had an election. And you know me, I will never use this pulpit to tell you who to vote for. I will never use this pulpit to lift up one and put down another.
Amen.
But now that the election is passed, I think I can talk a little bit about it.
Come on.
I don't know about you, but on Tuesday night, I was watching CNN. I just like CNN. I don't know why. I just like CNN. Some of y'all watch NBC, ABC, CBS. Yeah, MSNBC. Somebody might watch Fox, but we ain't going to go there. All right, but what am I saying is that as we were watching the election, we were told that Hillary was a shoo-in. The polls were saying that Hillary is a shoo-in. But The reality angel, those was nothing but a whole bunch of poles. Which means that folk can tell you anything.
That's right.
Because once they get in into that voting booth, well, here in Virginia, just a little table. But up in Jersey where I grew up, and I used to always go to the polls when I was a little boy, my mother, because she always worked the polls, and she was a county committee woman, so she was always involved in the political atmosphere. I got a kick out of watching that big green machine, and you would go in there, and you would pull a lever, and the curtain would close behind you, and then once you made your vote, you would pull the lever the other way, which would register your vote, and the curtain would open. I was just so fascinated with watching that. As a little boy, because I was wondering what really was going on behind. But what I also learned is that when you go behind the curtain, what you do behind the curtain ain't nobody's business but your. Fair enough, right? But the thing that devastated a lot of folk was as we were watching the poll results come in, when we saw Florida, they said it was too early to call, Brother Chester. Then all of a sudden, you know, I was watching a dude on CNN, I forgot his name, but he kept going to the map and saying, well, this area hadn't come in yet, and this is where, the African Americans and minorities, and President Obama carried it in the past two elections. It's going to be a shoo-in, and when these come in, it's going to make a difference, and so on and so forth. I kept hearing that all night. And then somewhere around 1 o'clock, Deacon George, she lost Florida, Ohio was Obio, as far as she was concerned, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And after all, when I saw that, you know what I did at 1 o'clock at night? I hit power button, pulled the covers up. Brother had to say a good prayer, and then I went to sleep. Because the reality is that I was devastated because of the fact that the American people is what I was disappointed in. The American people voted for division, racism, bigotry, sexism. All this stuff that happened. And when you look at this country, on Wednesday, you got folk protesting in all the major cities. But Bria, where were they on Tuesday when it was time to go behind that curtain and pull that lever? That's the point I'm making. See, we have to understand something. Is that when you look at where we are and where we have been the past 8 years, y'all, let's just be honest, we've been spoiled. We've been feeling good about ourselves. Can I tell you the truth? Because we know why we feel good about ourselves. Because when we turn the television on, no matter what they said about our president, he was still looking like us. And you know what really excited us? Is that just us voting for him couldn't put them in there.
Amen.
So people were voting on what the man stood for. What he presented as his agenda. You look at what he was all about. He was a president for the United States of America. He did so many great things. And you know the reality was? It's amazing what history is going to show us from the years to come. He did all that he did because there wasn't a whole lot of donkeys in there.
Oh, no.
It was a lot of elephants in there.
Right.
And he still was able to get it done.
Right.
Because he wasn't focusing on the donkeys. He wasn't focusing on the elephants. He put his trust in the Lamb. Oh, somebody gonna work with him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because he realized that I got to put my trust in the Lamb.
That's right.
And what he did, the things he was able to accomplish.
Ooh, that's right.
And then we see what has happened.
Yes.
When the results came in, folks said, division is good. Racism is good. Bigotry is good. Being a bully is good.
What they said.
Groping women is good. This is, I mean, look, I'm just going by, I ain't saying nothing that y'all ain't heard on the television. And if it was in the Great Britain, they called it the telly, Sister Rhodes. So everything that I'm saying is all the stuff that's been all over the news. And America has said, yes, all of this is okay. That's what devastated me. That's what hurt me. Because I felt the moral fiber of our society would not allow anything that would cause us to be divided to win any longer. And I know I ain't the only person that felt that way. And I know some of y'all stayed up real late at night. Others ain't watching at all. But when we all turned the TV on Wednesday morning, we all saw that the president-elect was, we know who it is. I got up. Can I just be real with you? I mean, I'm straight up real with you. I went to the gym on Wednesday morning because you know the brother got to go work out. I went to the gym Wednesday morning. And you know what? And at the gym, while I'm doing my cardio at the gym, they got TVs up there. They got you got NBC, you got CNN, you got ESPN, and you got Fox. And you know what I did? I put my volume in associated with ESPN. I didn't want to look at nothing else. I didn't want to hear nothing about who won or any of that kind of stuff. Because you know why? I was mad. Like I said, I'm going to be real with you this morning. I'm going to take you through the process God took me through. I was mad and I got my workout in, went home and finished doing my workout. I mean, I worked out hard, Alex, on Wednesday morning. I had to get some stuff out of myself. You know, but what happened was this. God smacked me upside the head and said, bro, what's your wish? You know, I've been on the throne from the beginning.
Thank you.
I was on the throne before 2008.
Yeah.
And you were excited in 2008. And you know what? On November 9th, guess what, Kevin? I'm still on the throne. So if I'm still on the throne, why are you all twisted by what's happening in the world? Are you living for them? Or are you living for me? Did they wake you up this morning? Did they start you on your way? Are they providing for you? Are they keeping you in your right mind? Are they blessing you? Don't get it twisted, Kevin. It ain't about nobody but me.
Yeah.
And since it's about me, guess what? God is in control.
That's right.
So now I'm going to apply to you the formula that God gave me to help get me right. Because I tell you, and you know, no, I ain't going to go there on that one. This is not important. But you see, and I gave myself indigestion thinking about it. But the whole thing is, I need you to see this because I prayed about this. I'm like, Lord, don't let me preach, man. Because if I'm preaching mad, it ain't nothing going to happen. Because I, you know, because if I'm mad about it, then the spirit ain't working through me.
Amen.
So I just said, Lord, just settle me.
Yeah.
Especially during 8 o'clock this morning, I said, Lord, settle me. Because of the fact that it's not about what I feel. Because, Lord, it's all about you.
And then
when I brought up to these five words, I want you to look at. After all that is taking place, and even though we know what happened on Wednesday morning, the one thing that we still got to do, what verse 4 tells us to do, is that we ought to rejoice in the Lord when? And again, I say what? You see, I want you to understand, it don't matter who is in the White House. I want you to know God is still on the throne. God is still in heaven leading things. Jesus is his advocate at his right hand. So I want you to know that's why we rejoice. It don't matter how things might appear, whether they are rough or whether they are smooth, you still got to what? Rejoice. But wait a minute, because y'all didn't get it. I got to give you some more insight. You see, I want you to understand something about the book of Philippians. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, y'all, he didn't write it while he was out sunbathing somewhere on the Caribbean. Paul wrote this book to the church in Philippi while Reverend Rhodes, he was under house arrest, knowing that he was about to be killed by Nero, who was the Caesar of Italy. And he knew for a fact that his life was coming to an end. But he said, wait a minute, I got to write these folk one more time. And as I write this letter to them, I want them to understand, and he specifically says it here in verse number 4. He said, you ought to rejoice in the Lord always. Just so that you get it right, you ought to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. It is our responsibility that sometimes it's going to be a sunny day. Sometimes it's going to be a stormy day. But what we got to learn how to do is what? Rejoice. It might not work out the way you want it to, but you still have to what? Because you know who is the one who is blessing you right now. You know who turned your life around. And his name is
Jesus.
So there's no child of God who ought to be sitting up in church and who is not what? Rejoicing.
Right.
Why? When you rejoice, what you're saying is this. And what you come to know to be real is this. Is that the joy that you have on the inside, it didn't come from the world.
That's right.
The world didn't put it in you. And the world can't take it away.
Right.
And since it was nobody but the Lord who has blessed you and has put a joy in your heart. So, Brother Phil, even though you're sitting there and you got an oxygen tank on, you can still say, I rejoice. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if the Lord hadn't blessed me, we would, none of us would be in here right now. So when you got the joy of the Lord on the inside, you can't do nothing but what? Rejoice. Because we serve a mighty good God. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know God is good? We got reason to what? Check this out. Deacon Aldridge, you know why we can rejoice? Because the Lord is near. You know what that's saying? Is that no matter what you're going through, no matter what is going on, you ain't got to ever wonder where the Lord is. You know how you got some friends, your BBFs, who tell you to call them when you need something? But I want you to know, when you really need them and you call them, what you get? Voicemail? Oh, that don't work. I'll just text them. And guess what? They don't text you back. But I thank God that the Lord is. And since the Lord is near, I don't ever have to wonder if the Lord's going to take care of me, if he's going to watch out for me. Because he tells us in verse 5.
Yeah.
He says, let your gentleness be known to everyone.
Yeah.
The Lord is near. So in essence, what Paul is telling them, he says, even while I am here right now in Rome and I'm about to be killed, he says, you know what? The Lord is near. And I know everything is going to be all right. And he said, what we got to do is let folk know the Lord is near. Even those folk who are now even protesting here in the city of Richmond, we let them know that the Lord is near. Why? Because God is in
control.
And since God is in control, we understand that we can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is near. I ain't ever got to wonder where he is. I ain't ever got to look for him. The Lord is right there with us. You see, and that's why we're able to be able to rejoice. That's why we are excited, because we serve a God who sticks closer to us than anybody else.
Oh,
he's
man.
There with us through thick and through thin. If we go high, he's up there. If we go low, he's there with us. Wherever we are, the Lord is right there. If you're in a hospital bed, he's right there. If you're going through depression, he's right there. If the money gets funny, God is still right there. The Lord is always
right.
So, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. But every now and then, what we make the mistake of doing is looking where we ought not to look. We start looking around rather than looking up. When we take our eyes off the prize, we find ourselves worrying. You see in verse 6, he tells us, what does he tell us not to do? He says, do not worry about a few things. He said, don't worry about anything, right? But what he says, but in what? Everything. By prayer and supplication. Right?
Yep.
Ain't that what it says right here?
Yeah.
That we are, by prayer and supplication. With what?
Thanksgiving.
Now, you know why we, wait a minute, what you mean Thanksgiving? Mm. Well, what he is saying here is this, that you know what we understand? I want you, everybody, to repeat this word with me. He wants us to understand that we have a privilege. Everybody say privilege.
Amen.
Don't you know that prayer is a privilege of the children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You know, because there was a time we was going through stuff and we ain't know the Lord, and we tried to fix it ourselves. We tried to go here and there to get some help. Ain't nobody help us. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
But when we found Jesus, Lord, let me change that. When Jesus found us, because he had already been looking for us and he was right there with us, we finally realized he was always near. And when we realized who he was and gave our lives to him, he told us something. You got a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And the privilege you have is that you have prayer.
Right.
And since you have prayer, you ought not to be worrying about what? Anything. But you ought to pray about what? Everything. So if you are a child of God, that's another reason why I can rejoice, because the Lord is near and I can pray. And as I pray with a heart of thanksgiving, because I know I got someplace to take my stuff to. I know I got somebody who's got my best interest in heart. I know that there's someone who will be there and make a way out of no way. Oh, I thank God for Jesus, because he sits at the right hand of the Father. He is our advocate. Let the Father know, Daddy, you know they got the blood on them, so you know they're all right. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got a privilege.
That's right.
And so since we got a privilege, you know what we ought to be doing?
Using it.
Praying with thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
We ought to be praying about this country. Because guess what? I want you to understand something. Some folk are so upset by what happened. Some folk want to run to Canada. Canada said, I'm closing up my borders. Y'all can't come over here. You know, we're going to build a wall up here, because Donald wants y'all to have a wall down there. So we're going to build a wall up here. Y'all can't come up in here. Nah, way too many of y'all wanting to come. Some folk are wanting to leave this country, and others we see are protesting. But the reality is, it is what it is. This is our system and our methodology that we utilize in order to put folk in positions of what we call quote unquote power, but I don't want to see it as a power position. We ought to be seeing it as a leadership position. You are there to lead this country. But I think the terminology just twists things. Because when you use the word power, I want you to understand that brief folk think that you're all that, a bag of chips, two shakes, and a soda on the side. You know, because I'm in this power position. But we are not in positions of power. We're in positions of leadership. And when we look at what is going on, our leaders got to understand that you are there to lead.
Amen.
And because of all the stuff that is going on, and with all that is happening, what we want to do as a people of God is not just pray for us. We want to pray for this country to be united. Because there are some folk who don't know why they're following what they're following. There are some folk who are having a hard time. There are some folk who are making things financially. But they're going to listen to somebody who is a quote-unquote billionaire. But if he's so rich, how come he ain't showing his IRS returns? And he has all this stuff, and he's going to do all this for them. He ain't care a flying flute about nobody, but you mean to tell me he going to care so much about you? You see, what we have to understand is that we got to be praying for folks. Because he was feeding off of negativity. He was feeding off of hatred. He was feeding off of how you letting folk come up in our country, causing all kinds of problems. Oh, please, people. And you can't group an entire group of people and say they're all rapists and murderers. That's not what folk are. I don't care what group of people we have in this country. Ain't none of us perfect.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
None of us.
And we've even had situations where we've had Latino kids or Mexican young kids in school. Having their classmates say to them, yeah, they're going to put a wall up and going to send you back to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
That's called division. We don't serve a God that divides. We serve a God who unifies.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to be in prayer, my brothers and sisters. We got to pray for our country. He is the president. I mean, whether we like it or not, come January 20th, 2017, he's going to put his hand on the Bible that got 2 Corinthians in it and lift his hand up. Somebody going to catch up to me in a minute.
Yeah.
And he's going to take the oath and be sworn in as the next president of the United States of America. And I don't care how much we kick and scream and holler, he's going to be there for the next 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
But the one thing we still got to understand, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. And we know that the Lord is near. And since the Lord is near, we're going to pray about everything and worry about nothing. Because God is in. But when we understand that God is in control, since we are rejoicing, since we know the Lord is near, since we're going to pray about everything, then we understand that the Lord is going to give us peace. Peace beyond. Surpass our understanding. Do you understand that God wants us to be at peace? And you know, the term is surpassing all understanding. You know, there's some aspects of this peace we can understand. But I want you to understand that, Deacon Booth, it comes a time that sometimes when we're going through stuff and we find ourselves just saying, Lord, thank you. When other folks are looking at us and saying, why are you thanking the Lord? You know, here you are at home, you just retired and you're taking care of your mother. How can you be at peace? How can you be thankful for what God has done? How can you say to people, how folks say, you know, this ain't why you retired, and this is what you say, you know what? You already know I'm at peace because my God is blessing me. My God has brought me a mighty long man. My God will take me as far as I need to go. You see, I want you to understand, Sister Doris, when you know how good God is and you know that the peace of God is with you, no matter what goes on, you can say, hallelujah, anyhow, I serve a good God.
Right.
I am at peace because the Lord is my way maker.
Right.
He is my all in all. He is everything that I need.
Everything.
And so since he's everything that I need, I can be at peace. I can come to church with a smile on my face and a tear running down my eye. Because I understand that I am at peace. Because no matter what's going on, I can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. You see why it's well with my soul? Now, I know there's some folk who are praying and say, Lord, how could you let this happen? Well, I want you to know, you know what the Lord said? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You see, I don't got to answer to you. You got to answer to me. And if you love me and you believe that I am in control, can't you trust me with what I'm doing? You see, I want you to know, we done got so excited about the past 8 years and how good it has been. All we're seeing is that we went from one spectrum. Sometimes, when we don't appreciate what we got, that's good. God's got a way of letting us know. If you don't keep your hand in my hand, if you don't trust me, if you put your trust more in man than you do in me, then it's time for us as the people of God to apply 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, I will heal from heaven, and I will heal the land. You see, I think that what we tend to do sometimes is when things go good for us, Brother Jack, we sometimes forget who blessed us with the good. And we start looking at the good and think it came from the good. No, somebody had to send the good. And the one that sent the good, his name is Jesus. And since the Lord sent us good and we didn't appreciate it, he said, I'm going to show you how it looks the other way. And I want you to know the next 4 years, we're going to have a whole lot of folk praying in church. We're going to see a whole lot more. Listen to me now. Clear me. I hear what I'm saying. We're going to see a whole lot more folk up in here, even more. Why? Because folk going to be coming and wanting to say, we need the Lord's help. I'm looking at all the stuff that's going on here in our country. And I want you to know that since we know who is in control, we're going to still come here and we're going to rejoice because the Lord is there. Because we're praying about everything. And since we're praying about it, the Lord's going to give us what? Peace. And since we are God, we have peace. You know what the Lord has said? Jesus, I need you to do something for me. You see, because once I give them peace, you know the enemy's going to try to attack their hearts and their minds. So Jesus came to guard our hearts and our minds. And since our hearts and minds are guarded by Jesus, we know that God is in control. And we now can take the time out to go on and praise him no matter how rough it gets. Because I want you to know we're going to hit some bumps along the way in these next 4 years. But you know what? That's all right. Because God is in control. Others are going to be running around wondering what's going to happen next. We're going to say it's all right because God is in control. And since we are God's children, the Lord has already built a hedge around us. So no matter how rough it might get around us, the Lord's going to treat us like he did the Israelites in Egypt. You see, because while they were there in Egypt, Sister Fee, I want you to know where Pharaoh and his people were. The plagues came and towed him up. But I want you to know in Goshen where the Jews were. Don't you know everything was all right with them? Because God built a hedge around them. And what I want us to know as God's people, we're going to see some rough days. But we still need to be praying for that man who is in or will be in office. Because ultimately God is in control. So the one thing we ain't going to do is sit around and have pity parties. But what we're going to do is give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Anybody okay with praising God with me right now? Is our God a good God? Does he deserve our praise? Is he blessing us right now? Has he brought us through a whole lot? And aren't we still here? Do I got a witness in God's house? Is our God a good God? Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him. Because God is in. You know, there's a song I love to hear. Don't sit down yet because we get ready to open up the doors of the church. There's a song that I love to hear. And it's one of the first songs I really listened to in church when I finally gave my life to Christ. Where it says, hallelujah, anyhow. Don't let your troubles get you down. When your troubles come your way, lift your head up high and say, hallelujah. Did y'all hear that? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to rejoice. And we're going to say hallelujah anyhow. Because God.